Subtle skills, big results.
Welcome to the Ninja Selling Podcast.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Ninja Selling Podcast. Garrett and I are back in our offices across the country. It was so much fun, Garrett, to be with you in person and actually record a podcast in person. And I hope that everybody enjoyed the different level of energy that probably came from it for those couple of episodes. I don't know, Garrett, you felt a little different energy there, right?
I definitely felt different energy, and it is just, again, awesome to be, you know, in your presence, and, you know, that's twice now. I am counting the multiple days as one continuous kind of
one event, one occurrence,
which was awesome. But there was a different energy in the room, which was just great. And so, I'm excited to do more of those when we get a chance to do it. I'm excited our new technology that we bought to be able to do that. Allowed it to work. So that was really fun to see. Okay, not only can we do this, but it was super easy.
Yeah, it was really easy. It was like, wow, this was easier. It was easier than doing this, quite frankly. So
I actually think we are more like all the listeners out here right now, you don't see all the BS that happens before we hit record. It takes Matt a while to kind of like get the engine going, like to kind of get things happening. And I felt when we sat in the room together, it was like, okay, we're not wasting any time. We're going to hammer this out. We got ideas, topics. I think also it helped that we were at leadership because we had all this like energy around us for 3 days that it just like piled into the podcast. So there's lots of elements there that good to be back at home, but yeah, miss you, man.
Miss you too. It was great seeing you. Great being with you and great being with everybody there. And it was wonderful to meet a lot of our listeners. And so for those of you who were in the room, thank you so much for tuning into the podcast and for coming up to us and saying hi. It was so awesome to meet some of you in person and look forward to more opportunities to do that. So Garrett, before we get into today's topic, there's a couple of things I want to highlight. There's a lot of you out there that are looking for open Ninja installations. Well, you're in luck because Terry Johnson is doing two in August that are open, one in Las Vegas starting August 10th and one in Utah, in Logan, Utah, starting August 23rd. So go over to ninjaselling.com/events. You can filter there for open installations and hopefully those are not filled up by the time this airs. But you just click on the register button, show up. Terry is amazing. My very first installation was Terry and Larry, and it was awesome. So highly recommend for those of you who have not been to an installation to go check that out. And let us know that you do. If you're looking for it, we'll pop some links in the podcast group as well on Facebook. So if you're not part of that, facebook.com/groups/theNinjaSellingPodcast. What an incredible group there. All of you part of that. Thank you so much. So there's my plugs, Garrett. Had to plug those things at the beginning. Appreciate everybody taking the time.
No, I love it. And I want to add too, Terry Johnson has been doing this for a long, long, long time with Ninja. Like she is a skilled Ninja instructor. And not only a skilled Ninja instructor, like she ran these systems. You know, my dad started working with Terry in 2001. In her own business, building these systems into it. And she is one of the more dedicated long-term ninjas personally with her business, and then just happened to like roll into being an instructor. So she has like one of the best skill sets around ninja of anybody that I know. So if you get a chance to take it from her, it's worth the price of admission. It's awesome.
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, just being able to be in the same room as her and have the opportunity to then talk to her, because she makes herself very available at these installations to have one-on-one conversations. She's incredible. So I kind of wish I was going out to Las Vegas, quite frankly.
Plus, she used to be a race car driver.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, little tidbits here. So I have, there's another reason why I love Terry so incredibly much. Okay.
So guys, go over and sign up for those. It's going to be an amazing, amazing experience. Even if you've been to an installation, it's worth going to another one and kind of doing these refreshers, as I like to call them, just kind of getting back there in a group of people and sharing that energy, because we felt it last week at leadership. It was amazing. So today's topic, Garrett, didn't come out of leadership. This has been on our list for a little bit, but it's, I don't want to say it's a tough topic, but it is a challenging skill, if we want to call it a skill. But what we're talking about is taking extreme ownership of your business, taking extreme ownership of yourself. We're not talking about the book by Jocko, which I've heard amazing things about that book. So maybe we'll talk about it at some point.
We haven't read it yet, so we can't say.
But we know it exists.
Yeah.
But we're talking about this topic from our perspective, Garrett. So you kind of brought this up actually originally a while back. So why don't you kick it off here? I mean, when you look at taking ownership, let's go backwards. What do you get out of this?
Well, and I think let's go back to kind of where this topic came from. And it's interesting is that I watch a lot of agents that I work with miss opportunities to grab a hold of things and run with them. And when Matt, when we were getting ready today and we're talking about books, you brought up Delivering Happiness by Tony Hsieh. And if anybody hasn't read that book, I highly recommend reading that book. That's an incredible book, which will give you a sense of, I think along the lines in a lot of ways, of taking extreme ownership over things. But I was watching opportunities come up for people where they could go and grab onto it and say, I can take care of that for you, and not doing it. That was one of the ways that I look at extreme ownership. And so Matt, like prime example, just had this happen on a coaching call the other day. There was a tax question that came in. Somebody had received some money back from the, you know, their government saying basically, hey, you overpaid on property taxes. And instead of the agent, now the agent's going to, but instead of the agent went to the managing broker and said, hey, what do I do with this? Because he's a newer agent. He's like, how can I do something with this? And the ownership just basically said, here's the number you can call for the local, you know, local, they'll answer the questions for this guy. And the agent's like, well, I was thinking that we could take care of this. Like we could get all the information. We could make the phone calls. And that's what I look at in some ways of like extreme ownership. Like when things like that come into your arena, do you run with it and try to be the professional for them and come back and be like, okay, here's what I was able to do research on. And here's all the stuff I was able to find out. Or do you just go like, here's the phone number.
Yeah. Pass the buck.
And that's one area of extreme ownership that I'd like to go down more of here with you, Matt, today. But the other side of it is when things go wrong, like things happen, like all of a sudden a bad inspection comes through, all of a sudden a buyer's agent does something crazy on the other side, all of a sudden a seller digs their heels in and won't negotiate on things. Like there's all kinds of ways that deals go sideways and things happen, and there's always somebody that you can blame or point a finger at. And I think that to your client, the best thing you can do is take extreme ownership and say like, okay, like I was one of the ones involved in this here. And here's the things that like, I wish I could have done better. I know I'm rambling here, Matt, so I want to bring you into this, but I think there's that one side of like, it's more extreme ownership to yourself. Like instead of just saying like, oh, the buyer agent messed this up, you personally yourself going, no, what could I have done better to make sure that that doesn't happen in the future? Because I'm owning this outcome. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Not necessarily going to the client going like, oh, you know, my fault. Like,
oh, it's all on me. I agree. And as the end result is freedom, is the way I look at this. And actually, interesting you brought up inspection, because I had a conversation yesterday with someone who launched two listings, very similar properties. One listing launch went really well. The other one was basically a false start. And he took ownership of it. I said, well, what happened here? And he said, well, we did the inspection while tenants were still in place, so we missed some things. Then when we went on the market, which it still looked great, they did great staging and all this stuff. He's like, we had some showings, we had some things, we had some offers, and then the inspections came back and it spooked the buyers out. And he's like, I should have taken better control of that process and not allowed the clients to kind of drive parts of that, because I knew that it would potentially cause some challenges. And I was like, great. And he's going to fix it and they're going to do just fine. And they're going to get that property sold. The seller's going to be happy. Those are the things where someone might say, well, it's the seller's fault, right? The seller, you know, wanted this and we went with it. And so it's on them. You know, we'll fix it. But even though the end result might be the same, the energy and the feeling is different if you take ownership versus if you don't. And this is where it gave this person the freedom to then say, here's how we're going to fix it. And this is what we're going to do, which decreases the timeline, which creates a better result. Whereas a lot of people will say, well, that's not my thing. this person's going to handle it, which then just creates more confusion and stress.
Well, and I think your example is good because, again, what happens there is when you don't take ownership of we actually can control the outcome of what's going on, you're giving up all the power, like all of it. So let me throw this on the table. How about a buyer's agent currently right now in today's marketplace? I get different types of buyer's agents. And some of those buyer agents are people along the lines that they're like, gosh, you know, in this marketplace, you know, writing offers and things like that, we're at the mercy of this marketplace right now and getting offers accepted. Like, hey, you know what? You know, we've talked about this before. They're going to have to lose some to be able to be successful in this marketplace. One of Matt and I's favorite things.
Oh, my favorite phrase.
So you look at that and you go, I know agents right now that are taking extreme ownership for their buyers. And by the way, they're getting offers accepted almost every single time they go to bat for that buyer. I know other ones that are losing every single time they go to bat for that buyer. And the ones that are winning every single time are personally taking responsibility of my job is to get them this house. And if they don't get it, it is my fault. Like, I've got all the tools in my bag and I'm going to bat for them, but they're taking the ownership that this is their responsibility to do this job for them. And they're going to do the best job they can. That is where we're watching this ownership get given away or fully be taken ownership of. I've got myself into a problem here.
Yeah. I think I know where you're going with that. And what's interesting is the agents that, I mean, listen, I know it's tough out there. Not every offer is going to be accepted, but when they do take that level of ownership, like, there's also less stress. They're able to move on to the next without being like, oh my God, another one, right? And they become a meme of like the realtor with the bottle of wine, right? So I think what you're also saying, Gary, and I agree with, if this is what you're saying, which I assume you're saying it, is taking ownership too doesn't necessarily guarantee results, doesn't guarantee a particular result. However, in my opinion, it guarantees freedom of direction. It guarantees more opportunity down the way. I mean, look at how people take control of their own health, right? Well, I can't eat healthy because this person keeps buying, you know, junk food and bringing it in the house. It's like, okay, well, you can then say that and continue to eat junk food, or you can take extreme ownership and be like, you know what? I have a challenge with keeping myself away from the pantry when there's chocolate in there. And I need to figure out a way to change that for myself because I cannot control what other people do. Now, if it's your spouse and somebody in your house, you can have a little conversation and say, you can figure that out. But it's a very similar thing where no matter whether it is your health, your relationships, your business, if you are not taking that level of control and self-responsibility, then you're not going to access the freedom that you could have down the road.
So let's talk about, like, let's throw this like into wealth creation category, you know, just for fun. Because we know we get to see a lot of people that come into us, Matt, that have spent years in the business and they're like, I'm going to have to do this job till I'm 80 or 90 because I have not, you know, not taken money, set it aside. And I think a lot of people look, go like, oh, at some point I will do that. And I think like in extreme ownership, if you want to look at wealth creation, you know, anybody who's listening to this right now, take ownership of it today. There's no reason you can't start today. There's no reason you can't start putting money aside today, no matter how much money you're making. There's no reason you can't do it. But you need to take ownership that you are the one that's going to make it happen. Nobody's going to do this for you.
Yeah. And you have to start with some crazy awareness too, because like I'll use myself as an example. Like I'm not anywhere close to where I want to be in terms of creating wealth programs, certain level of savings and investments where that I wanted to be at this stage in life. Now, I could go back and be like, well, there was the financial crisis that happened. There was certain things that happened with jobs. There was student loan stuff that happened. There was babies that happened. I could say all that stuff. And it's true. Those things did happen because of me, though. Those things happened because of me. And all of those things happened for me, not to me. Right. This is we talked about that before on a prior episode. And it's like, once I acknowledge that, it's like, okay, great. I have the freedom to do what I want to do. Does that mean that I'm content with where I am? Not necessarily. We're not talking about creating a false level of complacency or contentment. We're talking about acknowledging that everything that happens for you, everything that happens to you is for you. And you are the creator and receiver of those things. Now, there's a whole other spiritual discussion that could come off of that. I know that. But whatever is in your world, take it. And whatever works with your clients, take it, because it'll open up your vision to also say, maybe I should ask this client this question. You know, maybe I didn't ask the right question of this seller. Maybe I didn't ask the right question of this other agent that I'm working with, because, oh man, how about that, Garrett? We hear people complaining about, well, it's the other agent's fault.
Well, and this is where I look at is that when you take ownership of it, like you truly take ownership of it, you now get to grow. You now get to say, okay, because the minute you let go of the ownership of it, you're killing growth, because you're not looking for solutions. You're not looking for answers. You're not looking for how could I have done this better next time. Now, luckily, most real estate agents, Matt, as you know, we do this personality strength test periodically. Most agents have a really high, what we call ego drive, which causes them to beat themselves up, which causes them to go look for answers and solutions. But usually, and when we talk about internally, like this is the opportunity to really run with this. And again, when you really run with it, there's amazing growth that can happen when you start saying, okay, I am directly connected to this. I want to find a better way to do it next time. And I think it's like, it's anything. It's everything in your life. You can take that opportunity. When you get an outcome that you don't like, take that step back and say, how could I have made this outcome go the way that I want it to go?
And what can I do to move the ball forward or to change things as we go forward? And this goes right into, if you're not taking this level of ownership, this level of self-responsibility, then it's so easy to just go right into excuses. And this happens internally at brokerages, right? Leaders who say, well, like, well, my agents aren't producing because they're not doing this. Well, you hired them. And then agents saying, well, I can't do this because my broker, my manager is doing this. It's like, well, you chose to work there. Like, you can't.
I love it. My brokers are doing this. And you come back with, but you hired them. Like, seriously, like that
yeah.
is that moment of like, you get this management that's complaining about all the brokers they have. And then you don't take a look at it and say, well, what is your hiring process? Like, you end all be all, you're in control of this thing. But you hear it all the time of, I can't get people to show up. I can't get them to run at the level that I want them to run at. You know, they're not showing up for our sales meetings. They're not doing all these things. It's like, but at the end of the day, it's not the broker's fault.
Right. Oh, but it's not my fault. It's like, yes. And here's the thing. It's everybody's fault. If you look at it that way, and that's the cool thing. If you actually build a organization around people who take that level of self-responsibility, everybody's going to step up. Everybody's going to become a player. You're going to minimize the amount of victims that are in your environment. And the same thing if you're an agent running your business, right? It's like, well, my buyer this. It's like, well, you chose to work with them. You chose at that buyer interview to say, this looks like a great relationship. We're going to be able to move forward together. You took the listing.
That's a great one, Matt. So again, like you look at like the buyer that's out there writing offers and like, oh, they won't step up to where they need to go. They won't step up to where they need to go to make this offer work. And they're getting frustrated with the buyer instead of looking at themselves and saying like, what are my processes that led me to a buyer that can't make decisions? Same thing in a different marketplace where it's like, I can't get them to get a price reduction. I just need a price reduction on this listing and we would sell this thing. You know, and then it expires and it goes away and they go like, oh gosh, you know what? That was frustrating and what a waste of my time. And they don't look at it as like, again, what were my processes that led me to a listing that wouldn't make decisions to be able to sell? Even in this market today, we're still seeing it. There are listings that are going on that are just dogs. You know, they're not making the closing table. You all know they're in your marketplace. They are there. And it's funny how the agent will get upset with the actual client they're working with instead of going, again, extreme ownership side of like, what caused me to have this outcome? How in the world did I let this person into my world? And where am I weak?
Like, yeah. Or even like the late night calls. Oh, my clients keep calling me late at night. It's like, okay, why are you answering the phone? And now we're talking about this as if this is easy to all of a sudden flip a switch.
It is easy.
Well, it's easy to do and easy not to do. And what I mean by that is the action is not easy. The emotional consequences of it are a challenge when you first step into this. And I think there's different levels of it because
the hardest part is changing your belief system.
Yes.
About how you handle situations. That's probably the most difficult piece of the whole thing is changing who you see yourself as so that when that opportunity shows up, do I answer the phone? Do I not?
Right. And I was going to say, taking it one step further to your relationship with your spouse, probably one of the most difficult places for a lot of people to take on that extreme ownership.
I have found the easiest way that if you want to take ownership with your spouse is that when you have difficult conversations, text them.
No.
Don't do that.
Don't do that. Hate the text message conversation. But listen, we've all been there where we're like, I want this to work out better. I know what I probably need to do. And then we still go out there and be like, but I'm right. Right. And those are the little challenges that we will face every single day. And they're little, I look at them as little opportunities. These are little tests for ourselves to say, okay, how much ownership can I take? They'll use this morning as an example. You know, I like to exercise. You know, I like to pay attention to my health and fitness. Well, the past couple of days I've slept in and been like, I choose to sleep. And I could be like, well, I didn't get a workout today because I'm so tired from the night before. I was up late working. Or as in yesterday, Victoria woke up at 2:30 in the morning and I was up with her for like 2.5 hours. So I could use all those things and be like, that's the reason why. But instead, I look at that and say, yep, those things happened. And then I chose to just get extra sleep. And that's okay with me. I'm going to accept that. I'm not going to then be like, oh man, I'm getting fat now because I didn't work out. Be like, you know what? And that means that I need to make up for that somewhere. And that's my responsibility to make that happen. It's not anybody else's responsibility. It's not, you know, Victoria's responsibility to keep sleeping. So it's my responsibility to figure it out. And those are the situations where you're probably, where it seems like you're not being tested because it's like, those are just things that happen. It's like, yes, but they're little tests. And you got to take them and you got to look at them and say, hey, how can I use this as an opportunity to build that mental muscle so that when now you're faced with a client or you're faced with a colleague or whatever it is where you need to take that ownership, you're prepared to do it. And I think those are the steps. I mean, although I didn't define any steps, but those are the things you can be aware of to make it happen.
Well, and I think that, you know, for me, when I look at extreme ownership in my life, and I know I've said this a couple of different ways, but again, anytime I don't get the outcome that I want, that's my opportunity to analyze, to self-analyze and be like, okay, what could we have done to got a different or to get the desired result? You know, I can look at myself right now and I'm definitely carrying about 5 more pounds than I'd like to carry on me right now. Well, what is causing that? Well, I got in the habit of making sandwiches for lunch. I know my body doesn't like bread. I know that. Okay, a little insight into Garrett Fry. I love sandwiches. I'm like, there's nothing better than a good sandwich. Like if I can eat sandwiches, Sarah and I were talking about creating a new diet plan. And she's like, it was funny. This was for 75 hard, create a diet and follow it. And I didn't do full 75 hard, just so everybody knows. So I don't want to take credit for that. But when I said like, oh God, like what is my diet going to be? I literally wrote out a diet of just eating sandwiches. I was like, I'm going to commit to eating sandwiches for 75 hard or 75 days, 3 meals a day, sandwiches. But I know my body doesn't, that's a choice. And if I can very quickly look, and this is funny how fast I can, if I take ownership of like, this is how I can change this right now. The moment I take ownership of it, it's easy to have salads. It's easy to drink water. It's easy to drink more water than tea if I take ownership of that. And it's funny is how fast I can watch my body change the other direction just by making small changes, but taking ownership of it and not just going like, oh, you know what? But like, you know, there's bread in the house. So it's like easy for me to make a sandwich. Well, it's easy for making a salad. Like these are these little choices that we get to make throughout the days. And you need to own that you are the creator of the results that you get.
Yeah. No matter what happens, right? Oh, I didn't have time to go to the grocery store to prep for this. So I didn't have time for this because I had to go pick up my kid at school because they were sick. Or I had a closing that came up or a home inspection here, so I couldn't do my hour of power. It's like you are the creator. You get to choose how those things are going to impact your path and take that responsibility. And I think Garrett, health is a great place for people to begin because it's the biggest dichotomy that exists with business because a lot of people will use the busyness of their business as the excuse as to why health doesn't happen. And there's a chain of events that occurs there, right? So it's like, we'll start right there. Take ownership of your health and your relationship of your body and your mind as it relates to how you operate your business and start there. Whether it's like, hey, I'm going to commit to reading 10 pages a day for mental health or moving my body for 30 minutes a day.
I think for some people, and this, I might be going bigger here, Matt, than like keeping it really simple for people to start off with, but like coming out of COVID, I have watched so many people that don't know how to take a day off anymore. Real estate agents weren't good at taking a day off before, but it's worse. it's gone to a level of like, oh, you poor person, please step away for a second.
Yeah, I think people who once were good at managing their time, not taking those nightly calls and stuff, are now doing all of that. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, you were really good at managing this before.
Yeah, you know better. You know better than to be doing this. So I look at that and say, okay, I know a lot of people are going like, man, I'm just working. Like, look at that and say, okay, well, what is the outcome that I want? What is the desired outcome that I know I can have? Like, other agents do it. And, you know, the excuses start coming in of like, but this is the pace of business right now. This is what's expected of me. This is, you know, people are nervous and they need me to be there with them to support them. And I would look at it and say, okay, the end all be all goal is to have a day off once a week, have a day to walk away. What do I need to be doing to make that happen? And it's funny is I know agents that are doing it right now. I know agents that are taking 2 days off a week. I know agents that are not working past 6 o'clock at night right now and everything's shut down. Oh, and by the way, doing on track for 100 sides by themselves. And it's not like they have a big team that's running it. Like, these things can be done. And instead of just saying, this is the world that we live in, this is just how it has to be, this is what I'm talking about with extreme ownership of saying, don't give in that easy. If you've got something you want to do, own it, go after it, and figure it out. And some of these things that we give up all the power on aren't big things. Like, it's not, I'm trying to think of what a big thing is.
It's funny when you get to that, right? Like, so, because then things become smaller. And I think this is the one thing I think people should be prepared for. This is a long, never-ending path and journey when you start doing this, right? Everything starts getting leveled up. The beginning of it can also seem somewhat lonely because people will be like, well, like, but just it's that person's fault or it's that. And it's like, you have to avoid buying in to those conversations and some of that stuff that might be like, well, just this once or whatever. And also understand that there's ebbs and flows in how you run your everyday. But if you're aware of it, if you know it, you can course correct a lot faster. Because it's not to say that, hey, this is the holy grail of being perfect. Is this a component of it? Probably. But it's hard to run a case study on it because it's a never-ending journey. And I think that's what we have to be prepared for on this, is that all of the things, all of the choices that we make contribute to our mental toughness and strength as it comes to being self-responsible and taking a lot of ownership. And taking ownership, I want to just add this in here too, Garrett. It doesn't mean that you have to do everything, right? Like, going back to your example in the beginning here, it doesn't mean that you now have to do every single thing that comes across your plate when people are asking you questions. It's really about managing certain processes and looking for those opportunities to add extra value for your people when that's happening. But if there is something that is not your fault that happens, it's taking control of it. It's not saying, oh, that's now all because of me. It's, hey, I'm going to take control of this and take ownership and try to help formulate a solution, which also might be pulling other people in and helping redirect some certain tasks and actions. And that's totally okay. We're not talking about like, now you have to do every single thing, fire your assistant because you need to take ownership. It's like, no, go hire more people to manage things so that you can have ownership of more things through others and through those relationships. Does that make sense?
I think so.
Okay. Well, I guess people will tell us if it...
Yeah, comment directly on Matt's...
Just call me.
So again, I think, you know, to kind of wrap this up and put a bow on it, I think that, you know, opportunities for growth get given away all the time. Opportunities for excellence get given away all the time. And, you know, take a look at those moments when they show up around you and realize that if you take the ownership of it that we're talking about, you become better, you grow, you help other people grow. There's lots of positives that happen around this. And Matt, you made an interesting thing in your rant there about being perfect. And I think that, you know, perfect is just, you know, we talk about like with the Ninja Perfect Week, and a lot of people go, well, if I'm not doing that all 100%, or if I'm not following the Ninja 9 100%, I'm failing. And you know, this is where I go and like, well, take extreme ownership of it. Do you just want to say that you're failing, or do you just want to, you want to step back and be like, look, no, there's things of this I need to figure out. And why consistently every week do I not make phone calls? Why consistently every week do I not write my notes? Why consistently every week do I not do lunches? and go, you know, one, do I want to do them? Which I think is huge. You need to have to want to grow into these areas. But if you do want to, if you do want to be better with them, you, it's in your court to figure out the solution. It's in your court to figure out. It's not for your coach to figure out for you. I mean, coach will help you. But at some point, you have to take ownership and say, this is something that I personally, myself, am committing to doing. I'm going to figure out the best ways to make it work in my life. And if you do that, the growth will happen. You will find the answers. You will find the paths. And so that's what I was hoping that everybody could get out of today's podcast. And hopefully we got there.
Yeah, I agree. It's a big topic. I think everybody's got to process it in their own way too. You have to look internally and figure out, how do you want to handle this? How do you want to do it? And start with your first step if you're struggling with it. I know a lot of people who listen are like, man, I'm on point. Like, they're just like, hey, this is just reinforcing things I already do. And awesome. Continue to share that energy with others, because it does radiate to others to help others succeed as well. So there it is. So go ahead.
I was just to wrap it up here. And Matt, I appreciate you kind of going down this topic with me today. I hope that there was benefit to people out there listening. And we didn't talk about at the very beginning, but the podcast group, the Ninja Selling Podcast group on Facebook, is continuing to grow. Matt, we started that in March?
March.
And here we sit, over 2,000 people inside that group. One, I want to say thank you to everybody who's involved with it, because again, the content, the questions, the interaction blows me away. Like, I walked away from it for a day and I went back to it and I'm looking at the list and I'm like, there were so many comments on one person's post that I was like, this is incredible how the interaction that's happening in here. So one, thank you everybody for being interactive with that group. And if you haven't been to it, go check it out. And if you're worthy, we'll let you in. I should say that we try to get to everybody to let them in. Matt and I are going through on our own and making sure that we got all the right people in there. And there's a lot of people in the waiting room as we're trying to get through it. So
yeah, and if you are in the waiting room, if for some reason you've requested and you're not in there yet, I may have sent you a message. I may have not sent you a message yet, but we have a series of questions. I appreciate you guys answering them. I know sometimes they don't go through. So if we're able to identify, hey, you're a realtor, you have, like, if we're in some groups together, we're kind of just letting people in based on that. And I'm also reaching out via Messenger. So check your message requests. I know those get hidden if we're not friends. And if you want to be friends, cool. So we can make that happen too. But check your messages and we'll have a little conversation, because there are some robots and different things that try to join these groups, like easy to identify. Well, Garrett, let's see, somebody's like, join Facebook 2 weeks ago. And I'm like, yeah, probably not. Like, and they're like, you can tell that it's just like some type of robot looking to collect data or spam things. And we're obviously avoiding those.
I've sent you a couple that I've gone and looked at their profile and I'm like, yeah, no.
This person
not even
is not
remotely.
Yeah, this one doesn't make sense. So,
and then again, if anybody wants to know what we're doing at Ninja Coaching, please go to ninjacoaching.com. You can check out and see what's happening there. We've got a ton of great coaches that are, you know, highly trained in Ninja. They know all the ins and outs. And we have a lot of people that come to us saying, hey, you know what? I wish my year was better and we can help you get there. So come and check us out if you need any assistance along those lines. Thank you so much, Matt. Thank you. And I hope everybody has an amazing day.
Thank you, Garrett. Take care, everybody.
If you enjoyed today's episode and would like more, visit us at theninjasellingpodcast.com.
There you will also find links for more information about Ninja Selling and coaching. Have an incredible day.